Attention to the third chapter of the book of Ephesians tonight. I want to read the first 13 verses. Paul's going to talk about a mystery now. A lot of you read these mystery novels, and but God has some mysteries, and He reveals those mysteries as He goes along. This is one of the mysteries that is very precious when you begin to see what God has done. And especially to those of us who are of the Gentile persuasion. The Jewish folks had some covenants, had some promises. But we as Gentiles, we didn't have a lot that we could say we had because we were without God in this world. No hope, no covenant, and no promise. Except that God in Himself has determined to bless us in spite of ourselves. Remember in the previous chapter, the middle wall of partition has been broken down. And that distinction that was maintained for years, for generations, even for centuries, between Jew and Gentile, has been broken down. Paul will continue that theme here and as he unfolds a mystery for us. And we'll read these first 13 verses and then we'll come back and just look into it for a little bit. Said, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Well, there's some things here I want us to see that certainly the Jews and Gentiles have access, as Paul presents it here, for this cause, or for this particular purpose, because this has gone on, or had been made known, that Jews and Gentiles have access by one Spirit, and Gentiles are no more strangers and foreigners. And both in Christ groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, and habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, in this, we might ask the question, what is the mystery then? We've understood that the Gentiles now are fellow heirs and citizens of the kingdom of God and in the family of God. Now, the mystery is not that Gentiles would be saved. There was this promise to Abraham, and you can look it up sometime. I'll not turn to it tonight, but in Genesis 12:3, 18:18, and 22:18, that promise was made that in the seed of Abraham, all nations would be blessed. In other words, there is then the indication that God would save Gentiles. Sometimes an overlooked place. Solomon prayed for it when he prayed for the dedication of the temple. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 32 and 33. He prayed as he had prayed for the blessings of God upon that place and what petition might be offered there. He said, and when the stranger comes, and he asks, he petitions from this place, that his prayer would be heard in that place, that the whole world might know that this is the house of God. So the Gentiles were not totally excluded. But there was always a distinction. The middle wall of partition. The Jew had one place, the Gentile had another, and the twain, by and large, never really met as far as intermingling is concerned. Even into the New Testament time, remember that Peter, when he went to the house of Cornelius, pointed out, he said, "It is not lawful for me, being a Jew, even to come into this house. But the God that saved him," so forth, "made known to him that he was to come and preach to him." But according to their distinction, they maintained that difference. Now, the mystery made known is that the Gentiles come in as fellow heirs. And the distinction is gone. This is beautiful when you understand it in the light of the local New Testament church. This church and others like it are the only institutions I know of where Jew and Gentile can come together without any distinctions. Where the upper crust, the lower crust can come together. Where folks from every walk of life, every educational level can come together and stand in perfect harmony and fellowship in the house of God. And so the mystery is that God was going to put all in one place, in one body, in one particular setting. So look at it. That the Gentiles, in verse 6, should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, I do want to point out that you do not find that in the idea of the universal invisible church. But you do find it in the idea of the visible local assembly. If we were dealing with something that is universal and invisible, the distinctions could be maintained. But in the house of God, they are not maintained. I mean, a Jewish person come into this place, he's saved by the grace of God, he'd come in on equal footing with anybody else, just like any Gentile would come in and have that place. If he put his membership in this church, he'd have the same vote. He'd have the same expression and right of expression that anyone else would have, just as we as Gentiles would have. Now, there's always the crowd today that want to maintain this. I heard a fellow that's supposed to be a leading Jewish Christian leader say one time, it's not right to try to make the Jews subject to the same church and the rules of the Gentiles. And I thought to myself, what Bible is he reading? The one I read tells us that the Gentiles have been brought in, and this is a mystery, that God was going to take these two into one body. Not going to have a line in the aisle over here and say, this is the Gentile side, this is the Jewish side. But rather, he's going to bring them into one body in perfect harmony as fellow heirs and fellow citizens as saints of God. And in the same body. Now, I think there are sometimes necessary divisions. In other words, sometimes in the same building, you will have a church that will meet that speaks an entirely different language. But I really like the idea that when they all understand the same tongue, that they come together in one body. And in that perfect harmony. Because that's God's plan for this age. As folks come together in a church just like this. United together with one common cause. Because we've been saved by the grace of God. And that we might further the gospel unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so the mystery is not that Gentiles would be saved. But the Gentiles would be brought in. And they would be accepted on the same footing. They are in the same body. Partakers of His promise in Christ. By the gospel. And this was not known in other ages. Else you would not have found a court of the Gentiles in the temple area. But you do find that court of the Gentiles there. And it was maintained for years. Generation after generation. It's not known in other ages. But now it's revealed by the Spirit to the apostles and prophets. And that means these early ones in the church. Probably, well, I won't get into that tonight. But the prophets, the office of prophet was an office that was an office of necessity in the early church. And it's not what a lot of folks want to call it today and think that they're going to utter great revelation of future events. But the prophets, they worked and functioned in the church before there was a New Testament so that they would know exactly where they stood and what God's mind was for that church. Now, you and I today, we don't have to question whether we are to be witnesses or not. We're told in the Word of God to be witnesses. We're told to carry the gospel to every creature. We're told to carry it unto the uttermost part of the earth. Doesn't leave anything to be left uncertain. But before this Bible was completed, as we have it today, the office of the prophet was to be very faithful that the local assembly would know the mind of God and what their standing was. And don't you know that was a blessing to those early churches as the prophets began to understand, here the Gentiles are brought in as fellow heirs of the saints of God. The early apostles, before they died off, they made it known. These prophets made it known and became a resounding theme. Here it is. God's done a marvelous new thing that was never known before. Jews and Gentiles brought together in harmony in one body, in one house, in one place. Now, as Paul deals with this, he speaks of his calling and his ministry. He was chosen to be a preacher to the Gentiles. You'll find this recorded for us in Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. Remember a fellow named Ananias, not the one that sold his land and lied to God, but another that was more faithful. God told him, you go into the street called Straight and to a certain house, and you'll find one there named Saul that prays. The man was in prayer. He was blinded by the experience on the road, going to Damascus, or coming to Damascus, and he was led there and left, and the Spirit of God spoke to Ananias. Ananias, Brother Heston, he said, that's the one that persecutes so severely. But God said, I've chosen him as a vessel to go to the Gentiles. So this is Paul's ministry. He speaks of that. He said he was also enlightened by divine revelation. In verse 3 of our text, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. In other words, certainly this is something that by revelation came to him. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul talked about the gospel that he had received. It was not taught him by men or of men, but was given by the very working of God's Holy Spirit in his life. His ministerial abilities and his ability to minister are according to the gifts, or the gift of the grace of God. And certainly tonight, that's a blessed thing if men will function as the God-given ability that they have and know that it's God's given ability and not our own. And he then preached the unsearchable riches of Christ that all men might see, and that angelic authorities might learn of the grace of God by the church. Lest you think it strange tonight, I would hope that the angels would think we preached the gospel clear enough to want to sit in. But you realize that this has been a practice of the angels who can never be redeemed. I'm talking about the angels did not fall. You know Satan's going to visit the church. He'll come as often as you can get in the door. But angels sometimes, according to the New Testament, come and sit in the services that they might learn something of grace. See, they have never fallen. They don't know what it is to be redeemed and to be restored, to be saved by God's grace. And so they come and they sit in the services and listen to the preaching. Again, I hope we've preached clear enough that the angel might desire to sit in and listen. But Paul preached that the angelic authority might learn of the grace of God by the church. And then Paul desired that they be not discouraged by his tribulation. For whatever price he's paid it for their sake. What a preacher that's willing to sacrifice and to be sacrificed for the sake of the souls of those that he's privileged to preach to. Oh, what a blessed theme tonight. What a mystery that has been given and unfolded to us, that we stand in that place. We don't have to take our cap and bow our heads and come as though we were second-rate citizens. We're fellow heirs. Joint heirs even with Jesus Christ tonight. What a blessed place that we as Gentiles have been brought tonight. I hope you've been encouraged.